You're listening to the You Mentor Talk Show, now available on the Umoja app. And I'm your host, Imran Dharamsi. So on this weekly talk show, we invite professionals and teenagers to take us through their journeys and give us advice. And we have a lot of advice today, especially. So remember, if you have any questions for our panelists, you can always leave them in the live comments in YouTube, and we will get to them during the show. Now, before we start, we wanted to mention a few things. One, a bit about the Inspire platform. As you may know, the Inspire platform is a question and answer platform for career advice in our Shia community. So on this forum, as a rising professional, you can ask for advice from other professionals in our community. As a student, you can ask advice from professionals and fellow students. And as a mentor, you can give advice to our community's future professionals. And this is available via the Umoja app, which is you can download on the App Store and the Play Store, Android and iOS. One other thing, we are able to share stories of inspiring professionals, students, and community organizations only because of the generous support of viewers and listeners like you. So we would encourage you to please consider supporting the UMentor Talk Show at umojaoutreach.org/donate or in the Umoja app in the donate option. And just to repeat, every little bit goes a long way in opening career doors for our youth and connecting our community. So we thank you for that. Today's speaker is Brother Azhar Khalid. He is an app developer who is CEO of 24/7 Labs and co-founder of Al-Kutab Online Islamic School. He is a father of three, husband, software architect, and entrepreneur who has a passion for understanding how one can model a happy lifestyle through the guidance of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim assalam. So Brother Azhar, he has a lot of advice to share with us, and I'm very excited for this show. So let's bring him on. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Azhar. How are you doing? Thank you so much for joining us.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. You're welcome. Absolutely. How are you guys?
I'm amazing. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. So can you perhaps start? I know I just read your bio, but tell us a little bit more about yourself and then we'll go into all the different things that you're doing currently.
Absolutely. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa salatu wa salamu ala Muhammadu wa ala al-bayti al-athhar al-tayyibin ajma'in. Yeah, I mean, just like everybody, you know, we came to Toronto in 99, immigrant family, and then went to school, to York University, did computer engineering there. During school, I was still learning and programming as well on the side. Out of school, well, before school and into ending my school, I worked at IBM Research and Motion, started my own agency, learned a lot from there, didn't fly well, then worked at two startups and then start another agency. And I'm here at 24/7 Labs. And then about a year ago, we started at Kutab Online Quran and Islamic School. And here we are just trying to keep busy and do good things all the time.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if our viewers know, but you were on our first You Mentor Talk Show, which was 3 years ago now. So tell us a little bit, how has the field that you're in changed in the past 3 years? Because I know technology, it's always evolving. So 3 years, even though it may not seem like very long, it's long in, you know, in terms of technology years. So tell us about that.
Yeah, there's been some revolutions and changes and improvements with the blockchain, with artificial intelligence. And then when COVID came early, that's an impact as well. A lot of people moving online. So there's growth there. A lot of people working from home as well. So it's impacted a lot in terms in positive ways, in many positive ways. I always, you know, remember the saying, "Asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum." You may not like something, but it is good for you. And inna ma al usri yusra, with every difficulty, there is good things, right? There's yusr in difficult times. And I think it's impacted it in good ways.
How do you keep up personally or even on a broader level as the field evolves? So what do you need to do to keep fresh and continue understanding all the new technologies that are coming out?
Yeah, absolutely. Usually with keeping up, like, you got to understand the foundations and the fundamentals, because those you know, don't change much or don't change usually. So understanding that when a new thing comes up, you kind of know that, oh, okay, yeah, well, this was needed, this was a gap, now this thing solves it. So you understand why something new came up, why a new technology, a new framework came up, why a framework new version is totally different than the previous version.
Yeah.
And you have to learn these syntaxes and changes. So that understanding is knowing the fundamentals is critical. And then to keep up with it is to just try it and learn it and read it and experiment with it and so on.
Now, I know your journey personally. You worked at another firm and then you decided to start your own, actually twice. So can you walk us through that a little bit? Why did you decide to start your own firm and just tell us about the journey there?
Yeah, absolutely. I just, you know, more the mindset of wanting the freedom, wanting to manage my own thing. I think a part of it too is, you know, trying to find a prayer place. When I used to work in these companies, it's a challenge everybody goes to. And, you know, you have to find a place and all of that. So it kind of led me into trying my own thing, and I'm a risk taker too. So I went into it. It's hard because I don't come from a family that runs businesses. I come from a family that is employees, although I have a grandfather who ran a business, but my dad, my mom are engineers. So that was tough, a lot of learning, but alhamdulillah, I mean, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So.
Yeah. So your first firm, it didn't do so well, right? And then you went back working for another company and then you started it again. So
yeah,
tell us about that persistence and how did it help you the second time after trying it once already?
Yeah. Yeah, it really started from, you know, the whole side hustle. Everybody has a side hustle, really.
Yeah.
So you're right. It kind of started there. I was like working, you know, late nights many times. And then it picked up, reached a stage where I had 2-3 employees working. So I can sustain myself. And then I made the jump. And subhanAllah, it was also a good time to leave the company I was in without affecting them negatively or anything. It was like a smooth transition for them. Right. I didn't want to affect them in a bad way. So, you know, Allah makes things, you know, fate and things work out. And made that transition. But it's about, especially when I was younger too, about 10 years ago, you know, I have a lot more energy. And I was recently married, but it was a young family, no kids. So you can also focus and put time. And so it's really, it's that when you're young, you have the time, you have fresh brain cells as well. You're much stronger and capable. So taking advantage of that, you know, limited time is key.
Interesting.
I didn't think it was limited, but now looking back, I'm like,
it was limited.
It happened. If I didn't do it then, I don't think it would have happened.
Huh. Okay. Can you talk about making the jump? Like, why did you decide finally? Like, I know you said you're a risk taker, but what pushed you over the edge? As in, this is what I want to do. I want to start.
Yeah.
My own
honestly,
thing.
I think what one other thing too was the long commute to work. Was a commute. So what do I do with that commute? I just listen to ebooks, right? And I really would advise anyone who has a long commute to listen to ebooks, and of course be picky with what kind of ebooks you book. I listen to a lot of productivity ebooks, you know, The Power of Habit, some of Malcolm Gladwell's books and so on. I listen to narrations and a hadith as well of Imam Ali. Tips on how to run your life and so on. What are your priorities in life as well? And kind of really that wired me to decide to change from like a full-time job into something different.
And we were talking about this in the pre-interview too. Can you talk about the pluses and minuses of being an employee versus being someone who owns your own business?
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't think there is one answer that does them all, and doesn't mean if you have if you're on your own business is better than an employee. Like, everybody's got to model their life according to where they want to go and their personality as well. That's a big factor, right?
Right.
We're different creatures. We're all humans, but everybody is different with their personality. So if you're more of a risk taker and you want to have a bit more freedom and also could take on a headache, then, you know, and you'd get more money. Hopefully there's risk in that, but it'd make more. Then you go that route where you run your own business, right? And, you know, you could fail. There's a lot of risk there. But if you're more into, you know, having a stable job and then you just finish at 5 p.m., go home, and now you can focus on your other things, then, you know, a job is good for you. One time I saw there's a comic actually comparing corporate versus a startup. And corporate is like someone inside a wheel running. The startup is someone outside the wheel pushing the wheel up the hill. So it's not necessarily a better situation.
So it's like, and it's like a 24/7 kind of thing, right? Like you always need to be on.
That's how
on
I got the name, right? Actually, literally.
Oh, okay, actually, really?
The first logo we made, I made it myself. It was a light bulb with the number 24/7. And the light bulb was more like a clock with a guy running inside it.
Because that's how you felt.
It was literally how it was. And I'm like, okay, we'll call it that. That's what it is. Got it better. After 5 years, it gets better.
Okay.
My wife still complains about it, though.
Wow. Okay, so thank you for that. Now, I know you said you have a lot of advice. So give us some of it. Tell us some advice for students who maybe they're in high school, maybe they're starting college, and they're interested in app development or web development or things like that. What would you say? What's their best course of action?
Absolutely. I mean, for people who want to get into development, it's good. It's on demand. There's a lot of demand for developers anywhere in the world. Doesn't matter where you are. There's demand for you. You could work remotely. So that's good, but that doesn't mean you get into it because, you know, you gotta, as I said, everybody's a different creature. Gotta make sure your characteristic, your personality matches this job. Like this is like, luckily when I was in high school, actually, I remember, they gave us a chart. It was a chart with your personalities and there's different jobs and it doesn't match. Right. And I literally looked up the chart. Back then they used to call it webmaster. And it matched. If you're more math and logical, you know, certain characteristics. I'm not like a psychology major, so I don't know how to speak to that part. But make sure that matches. And if you think this could work, then definitely get into it. It's a lot of learning. It needs a lot of patience. It could be intimidating many times when you have bugs and you have issues and you could be spending, you know, days trying to just set up an environment. But be persistent once you know this is the thing for you. Be persistent and start early. Don't just wait on just a school. Like, education is good. School is important. But you could code on the side. You could look at tutorials and learn it yourself. You could really start today right after this meeting. So,
okay, great. Now, I want to transition a little bit because you have also helped in starting Al-Kutab Online School. Could you just tell us what that is and how that started? Because I know you mentioned it's very organic kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it started pretty naturally. I was looking for Quran teachers for my own kids and there weren't much programs. Actually, there was one program, but it was closed off. It closes off in a week. It's got limited spots. Me, our in-laws, and so on, we put in their kids. I think it was a class of like 5 kids initially with one teacher. That was not this summer, the summer before in 2020. And by end of the summer, I think we had about 20 kids, just, you know, people telling other people, they join in. And they decided to continue into the school year and not just keep it as a summer program. So went into the school year, was just, you know, family and friends. And by June, we had this year, June, we had 50 students. So earlier before that, shortly before that in Ramadan, we decided to make it a bit more formal and organized and started to advertise for the summer program, teaching basically Quran and Jumiat. So two programs. And in summer, we had almost 250 kids joining all online during the week. It's not like the madrasa, which is a one day a week. It's several days a week.
Yeah.
And now getting into the winter program, after school program, which is also during the week, offering. We have about almost 250 or 300 kids. And one of the programs is actually in collaboration. We're offering, first time, it's a hybrid program. One of the madrasas in Waterloo Kitchener.
Mm-hmm.
And they have with us, they do the online program during the week with us. And then on the Saturday, they do in-person activities instead of actual madrasa Saturday. It's practical activities on the weekend.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Okay. I'm just just putting up your website here on the side. Yeah. Just looking through it. Now, you had also said that you were looking for volunteers. So if you would like to just, I'm going to put up the flyer.
Yeah.
That would entail.
Yeah, the focus is really on this program is two things. Number one is parenting. We want to help parents in different levels, all the challenges they have. And number two is what we offer now, which is programs, Islamic and Quran programs.
Yeah.
And we plan to do it in a very organized and perfected way. To do this, we have about eight teams within the organization, actually, catering to different parts of the work. So we're looking, probably we could use the help of about 10 volunteers or even more right now in different aspects, from teaching to supervising classes, curriculum planning, administrative work, marketing, parenting workshops. We need a parenting committee to help with parenting. And everything is remote. So it's open to anyone. We actually have volunteers in Africa, in Asia, and then here we have a pretty diverse team from different areas.
Okay, great. Now, awesome. I wanted to get back to yourself. So what is your motivation for helping out and really spearheading this online school?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to do something, right? I wanted to help. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, as Muslims here, we are a part of the Muslim community, which is the global ummah or the umuja. I just love umuja,
the umuja.
The umuja ummah, which is ummah. Like this thing is powerful. It's a simple concept, but as you grow up and think about it, that connects everybody. Like you could go and randomly meet a Muslim from Singapore. You'll right away click with them, assalamu alaikum, how are you? They'll say alhamdulillah. That dynamic, that identity that connects us all is just amazing. So, and I had an intention with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something meaningful. It happened. This thing just happened and I carried along with it. So, it came pretty organic, alhamdulillah. And we're here trying to help as much as we can.
Great. Yeah. That's amazing. Can you talk about, you have so much going on, it seems, and you're still here today. So thank you so much. First.
Yeah.
But how do you balance it all? Like everything you have, you have your own company and then you're working with this and also family. Talk about that. Like what's the secret?
Yeah, I don't think it's a secret, but maybe sometimes things are so obvious in front of us. Mm-hmm. We don't, realize them, but it's really the obvious. I don't think there's a secret recipe. Generally some things, it's tawfiq. Everything is tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the luck factor, which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you, get things done. I'd say, and I had five pointers, for example, here.
Sure. Yeah.
Number one is like, having strong belief in Allah. You got to feel like Allah is with you. It's like your friend. أَقْرَبُ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Being close to Allah. And as you need, if you need anything done, just talk to Allah and ask Him for help. When you ask Him for help, you're seeking an answer. So sometimes that answer is actually in front of you or was given to you or was told to you, right? So you'll remember it and you'll discover it somehow. That's one. The other thing is Being close with your parents, I think parents is a priority. Respecting them, being nice to them, doesn't mean to have you have to be their slave, but it's different between having to be their slave and doing whatever they tell you and being nice. These are two different things. But what the Quran tells us is to be really nice with them and respecting them, and that is key. And being humble, always being humble when you work with others. Always realize that everyone you deal with, they know more than you, at least in one way, if not in many ways, right? And number four is really during prayer, the five daily prayers. I believe, everything runs around the five daily prayers. So when you're at a busy day and you're busy, you're trying to run that day as efficiently as possible. But we know that you're not really a master of it all. So chances are, whatever you're going to do, they're not the right things to do. So what you do is when you go to pray, you cut off your day. You cut off right at the prayer time, right at the prayer time. You're just like so busy. Right at the prayer time, you just cut it off and you go to pray. And you take long to pray. You take that full 20, 30 minute to pray. You might be doing that often. But during that time, you're doing your worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, I mean, certainly you're doing that commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is now managing your things for you that you were so worried about during that 30 minutes. Probably during that 30 minutes is the most efficient time in management that happens because it's being managed by Allah. And then you finish your prayer, you say, Assalamu alaikum. Actually, you say assalamu alaikum at the end, but assalamu alaikum is a greeting, right? So one friend once told me, we say assalamu alaikum while it's like knocking on the door. You finish the prayer and you said assalamu alaikum, and now Allah is also listening to you for more things. You can ask whatever you want at that moment. So do spend maybe a few more minutes with dua, asking what you want. And move, and I think that manages things. And when I did that, I also looked into my prayer and I realized the prayer has so many systems, complicated systems and processes, and very organized. It's like a pretty amazing system, the prayer. Like before you pray, you have to do wudu. To do wudu, the water has to be in a certain way. If there's no water, you do tayammum. Like so many backfalls as well, Then to do prayer, there's an announcement, there's an introduction, there's an intention, then there's steps. And if you miss a step, you could do sahu. That system, I take that system and now I run my business from lessons I learned from that system, from the organization availability of that system. And it works like, running a meeting. I mean, if we run a meeting the way we run our prayer, that systematic, they would be the best meetings in the world, right? But we don't connect the two. The problem is we don't connect them. I think Allah wanted to train us, right, on prayer, like pray five times. Hey, there's things in there for you to take away. We take these things and they help you manage things. And then a part of it, of course, prayer is running with time. So the most important thing is time. Time, it's really the currency, it's not money. It's your time that you use, right? How you use the time and what you do in your time. It's really time is wealth. Money is just thing that's gonna come and go. And you can come up with money all the time if you know how to manage your time. So the fifth piece is really time. And look back, 5 years, 10 years, what have you done? You'd see probably if you're like productive and focused like this, you'd see a lot gets done in 5 to 10 years.
Just think it's so fascinating that you're connecting Islamic principles to your business, because oftentimes we see those two realms as separate when, as
Yeah.
you've just, they're really not. So,
No, they're very interrelated. Yeah, I mean, you have like business, for example, a big principle in business, agile, right? People talk about agile management, agile productivity, right? Well, in Islam, it's an old concept. You just need to bring it up to the modern times. You have tawakkul. tawakkul, right? Depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Agile does away with the waterfall planning and it just does things on a weekly basis, right? Tawakkul is like this, you know, you do what you can do and then you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You let go of that, you know, urge to have to plan everything long term for the T. Not that agile is good though. I'm not trying to, you know, there's good and bad in each of these principles. But it's really that. So you could take the agile, which is the tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the waterfall, which is the phases and the process, which is what salah is. You have phases and processes and dependencies, right? They both exist, right? You just got to find how to implement them in your life.
Great. I wanted to change the subject briefly because this is something we were talking about during the interview, right now, right before the show. I wanted to bring it in. Can you talk to maybe students who maybe they're in high school thinking about university and they are feeling like they have to have everything planned out for their whole lives and have everything figured out? I know you had some opinions on that. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's really hard to plan because there are so many variants in every situation. You really, like, you can't know. Like, no matter how experienced you are in life, maybe if you're super experienced, which is very rare, like those, you know, people, which, you know, I'm sure I'm not one of them, but like I'm a student of life. I'm a student and I'm learning. So you can't really plan them. What you can do is you could, you know, tawakkul ala Allah, do tawakkul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do the things you know, the obvious things you know. You do them and you work with them.
Yeah.
And some doors will be closed and one of those doors will open. And because you've had a good intention and you've done good things, that door that opened is I can say confidently, is the door that you should go through and walk through. And I actually had it, like when I was applying, actually I had good grades in high school, but I don't know what happened that last semester.
Senioritis.
I dropped the ball that last semester. So my average, you know, I think, I don't know if you guys have it, but in Ontario,
I've heard of it.
Where you have the average, you get accepted, conditional acceptance, and then you don't get accepted. So, York. I went into York with one of the early engineering programs. It was the first year. So it wasn't a known program. I got into it because I wasn't, my conditional acceptance didn't go through. And at Queens, I wanted to go to Queens. It didn't go through. But Queens was out of town university, and York was in town. So, you know, like you don't know what works and what doesn't, right? You might go to a university that's away from home now, and you may not be the person who can manage to be someone who can live alone, right? You might be someone who could get distracted and could get, you know, go with the wrong friends. You don't know, like everybody is different, right? Or the opposite. So there are so many variants and so many pathways. We're not sure. So, you know, just have tawakkul and don't stress if things actually, chances are they won't go your way. If you have something set in mind and you're so stubborn, you know, you better give up because that's not going to happen, chances are. So just, you know, let it flow. Like Bibi Zainab said, what she went through, she says, ma ra'aytu illa jamila. She just looked at the positive things and she looked at the beauty of the events that happened in front of her.
That was so much amazing advice. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Now, do you have any final piece of advice for our listeners? I know in the pre-interview, we were talking about how people always ask about the road to happiness. And So, you know, if you want to take it from there.
Absolutely. It's. I mean, just, you know, following the path of Ahlul Bayt, this family, they're a family too, right? So I think family is the pathway to happiness. There is a talk too on TED about this experiment by Harvard. It's a lifelong experiment. I think it's been running for 120 years on happiness. People have to go after money, fame. But on that study, they found that it's really the relationships. And I mean, what relationship better than having a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Ahlul Bayt and with your family, with your close ones, with your siblings and so on, because you share so much with them, Building that and following the obvious advice on being good is really just following that. Following is not easy. Practicing is not easy. It's different than talk, but doing that will give you guidance and will achieve happiness. So
inshallah. Yeah.
Inshallah.
Thank you again, Brother Azwar. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time, but thank you so much for your advice. And we hope, our viewers really benefited and that they'll reach out to you perhaps in the future.
Absolutely, yeah. And anyone, I'd love to help in anything. So
yeah.
Great. Great. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
and thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the You Mentor Talk Show. Tune into the show next week. We have another interview Saturday at 3 p.m. on YouTube Live. And one thing quickly, if you enjoyed the show today, please consider supporting us, umojareach.org/donate, or through the Umoja app. Every little bit goes a long way, so we thank you very much for that. And if you want to watch our previous episodes, you can always check out YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, and our Apple podcast, where this episode will be up there soon in a few hours. Thank you, everyone, again, for tuning in today. Umoja Outreach Foundation, uniting and empowering the Shia community.